What a joy it is to be part of the family of God, isn't it? And well, this song this week has been such a huge blessing to me as I continue to serve Him. And worship is a great thing, isn't it? I enjoy worshiping the Lord, and it really brings us to where He wants us to be so many times in the Christian walk. It also brings us back from times where we struggle and we fall away and we allow sin sometimes to come into our life, but the Lord redirects us through worship. It's so sweet to worship Jesus, isn't it? It's such a joy. And I just praise God for this time, for this week, that just really encouraged me to understand more about worshiping Him and remembering how He redeemed me, remembering how He saved me. And so I'm really excited to share with you this week about what the Lord has done this week. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with Him and what He does. And I'm just excited this morning to be sharing with all of you of being a part of what God is doing. These past couple of weeks at Fifth Avenue have been really busy. Right, Craig and Danielle? It hasn't been easy. It's been busy. There's been a lot of things going on. That's great. So many kids heard the gospel these past couple of weeks. Not just here at Fifth Avenue, not just in Red Bank, but all over the world. Many are hearing the good news of salvation that is found through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what a joy that is this morning that we can be here together and reminisce and celebrate and praise God. And so this morning, yes, I'll be sharing with you about the outreach in Red Bank. But before doing that, not only is worshiping God in song and worshiping Him in our lives, as we walk day by day with Him, not only does that help us walk with God, but it's also His precious Word. The Word of God is what leads us, what teaches us, what helps us to take those steps of faith to serve. If we could turn to our Bibles to the book of Acts this morning. And I want to open up with a passage this morning that motivated me. And this morning I'll be sharing with you the beginning of the journey of praying about this outreach that has been something on my heart. Maybe many of you don't know, but it's been in my heart for many years. It wasn't something that I just thought of like 2 weeks ago. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna go to Red Bank. We're gonna do this. It's gonna be great. No, this was years of praying. This was years of looking to the Lord and asking the Lord for guidance and how He wants us to serve Him. All of you this morning have an area of ministry. Those who have a relationship with Jesus, those of you who've confessed Christ as Lord and Savior, who know Christ as your God, you all have a ministry. You all have a place of honor, of being an ambassador for Christ. Isn't that exciting? Are you excited about that this morning? I don't know. I'm looking on your faces. I don't see that much excitement. Are you excited to worship God? Are you excited to serve God? Are you excited to be a part of what God is doing around the world? Where is our excitement, brothers and sisters? This is something that needs to be worked on in the church in America. Are we rejoicing in seeing God doing a work? And so these past couple of years, just praying, asking the Lord for direction on where to serve, where, what to do. It's amazing how God works out the details, how He prepares you for a work. And even just these past 10 years, going to Venezuela, serving the Lord in Venezuela, building a strong connection with the Latino community, meeting my beautiful wife, marrying a Venezuelan princess, and, you know, just understanding and seeing God work in another country, being with Latinos, and coming back here to Fifth Avenue and just seeing different things going on UU. Sometimes it's easy to get discouraged. Sometimes it's hard to figure out where God wants you to be, what God wants you to do, how you can be involved in the Lord's work. How many of you want to be a routine Christian? I'm glad nobody raised their hand. That is the worst place to be. And I confess I've been there plenty of times where I've allowed the routine of life to consume me, where I've allowed things to happen in my daily life as a routine, and I got used to it, and I forgot the vision that God has for my family. All of us have a vision where God wants us to be. All of us have a calling where God wants us to be. God created you to worship Him. God created you to serve Him. And God created you to minister to others for His glory. We've been created for so many things. And so this morning, answer that call. Be there to respond to the call that God has given you to serve. Many are heading into a lost eternity as we speak at this moment. People are facing eternal death, not eternal life. How does that make you feel this morning? I'm sorry if I'm making you feel uncomfortable. I'm sorry for that, but it's an important conviction that all believers should have. We should be moved constantly in the sense of that. So as I was, these past couple of 6-7 months, just looking at the Word of God and just praying and asking the Lord, where do you want me to be, Lord? What do you want me to do? I want to be effective for you. I know it has nothing to do with me, but I want to be involved in what you're doing. God is always at work. It never stops. And if we go to Acts chapter 18, if we can read verse 18, and I love the Apostle Paul. I love learning about this brother's life because he was constantly involved in the things of the Lord. And, you know, age doesn't make a difference. Your situation doesn't make a difference. We need to stop making excuses and serve God wholeheartedly. And in Acts chapter 18, as I was studying this months and months and months before we even started digging into this outreach, and as I was studying the book of Ephesians, actually I wanted to preach at another assembly on the armor of God. I was preparing to talk about that. And then as I started reading the book of Ephesians, and I started looking at the story behind the book of Ephesians, and I saw how God was working through the situation that Paul was involved in, it broke me. It convicted me. It inspired me to think about how I'm living my life for the Lord. But verse 18, it says here, Paul returns to Antioch. It says in verse 18, so Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria. Now we know in the news, we've been hearing nonstop about Syria, have we? Paul was in the trenches. In this war, spiritual war that we live in every single day, Paul was in the trenches. Where are you? Where are you this morning? Where are you in your walk with God? But here Paul, it says he sailed for Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. Two faithful brother and sister right there with the Apostle Paul. He had his hair. He cut it at Centuria. Haircuts are great, aren't they? He cut his hair. For he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus. And he left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent. And as I kept reading through these scriptures, as I kept studying the Word of God, and as I kept praying about where the Lord wanted me to be in these next couple of months and serving Him, I was tired of living these months of not believing in God, not trusting in Him, not accepting the challenges that God has given me. God is going to challenge us constantly. It's a matter of you taking those challenges and trusting in Him. And here the Apostle Paul was always ready, always willing to serve, ready to serve, ready to sacrifice, ready to do whatever it took so these people could hear the gospel. And Paul wasn't going into an area where it was easy. It wasn't a simple area of ministry. There was a lot of tough times here in this area of Turkey, which was back then. That's the present day, it's Turkey. But you know, I'm going to stop there and I'm going to get into my presentation this morning. But as I was reading these scriptures and seeing the heart that Paul had, I said, Lord, please give me that same heart. Please give me that same desire to love others, to sacrifice everything, to give. I confess this morning, I'm such a selfish person. I realize that more and more every single day. Wow, Diego, you are pretty selfish with your time, with so many things. And so that's the beginning. That's how God was working out the details. It's really neat to see the background of how things happen. I wish we could hear like a diary of what Craig and Danielle went through these last couple of months of preparing, the struggles, the discouragements, the attacks from the enemy. Satan does not want us to have a vacation Bible school. Satan does not want you sharing the gospel. He does not want you to live a life for the Lord. So that's the beginning. That's a little bit about, there's a lot more to share, but I know we have very little time and there's so many things I want to share with all you this morning. But that's the beginning. Praying about it, thinking about it, looking at the scriptures. The Lord's put it in my heart for so long to reach the Latino community in Red Bank. And God did something amazing. There was one day, my wife, she's been very good friends with a girl named Yanette. Some of you have seen her. Do you remember her? She came to Camilla's birthday party in Diego's. I remember the conference at CMML at Lincroft about Mexico. I remember when one of the things the speaker said that really blew me away, goes, to invest in the Latino community takes time. It takes time to build trust with them. It takes time to build credibility with them because they've been let down so much, even in our country, even now. And so my wife built this strong friendship with this young girl, Yannette. She's a wonderful girl. We've shared the gospel with her. It's been a huge blessing. And there was one day where we were helping her pick up her daughter at school. We were spending time with her all day. She came over. She came over that day. I can't remember. And I remember going to pick up her daughter at this school in Red Bank. How many of you know where Red Bank is? It's not too far from here. We're all pretty familiar where Red Bank is. I didn't really know much about Red Bank. And I remember going to to school. And it was the time where you heard the bell ring and all the kids were flocking outside of school. You remember that life, right, Mrs. Risden? When you're in school, you know, the teachers here, they know what that's like. When kids come out, it's hectic, it's crazy. And I remember just picking up this girl named Emily, and I saw over hundreds and hundreds of children walking out of this school, and guess what? Every single one of them were Latino. I kept looking. I said, wait, I'm probably going to see a kid from another, you know, maybe an Asian kid or, you know, maybe, you know, someone else. But it was just packed with Latino, packed. And I just felt the Lord telling me, Diego, this is where you need to be. Remember what you were reading in Ephesians. Remember when you were encouraged by what the Apostle Paul, how he was taking steps of faith. This is what the Lord wants you to do. These children are precious. They need Jesus. They need me. I just felt the Lord telling me, they need me, Diego. And you need to be the one to tell them. I said, Lord, but how am I going to do that? Like, where am I going to start? Lord, don't please, you know, sometimes when we pray things, we really don't want the Lord to answer that prayer, do we? But when he does, we don't know what to do. And so I just remember sitting there, and I remember talking to Lizbeth and sharing with her what happened and just praying and just asking the Lord, Lord, okay, what do you want me to do? And so Bob Billings and I, we've been spending a lot of time together and just talking a lot. And one day I went up to Bob. I said, Bob, would you want to go out and do some door-to-door, some evangelism? You know Red Bank pretty well. And he goes, Diego, you know what? Finding the right place. There's this place. Let's go see what it's like. It's an apartment complex. I went there like 2-3 years ago. I did a lot of door-to-door. And he even admitted he got discouraged and he kind of moved on to the next phase. So Bob and I, make a long story short, we went to this place. Man, it was incredible. I could not believe the openness and the reception of the people in this small apartment complex. Bob and I, we were rejoicing every time we went to this place and we shared the gospel with these families. And so finding the right place, and then Bob and I started praying about it. We were so excited. We called the manager. We called the landowner. We wanted to get permission, but we never did. We called and called, left voicemails, did everything we can. We never heard anything back from the guy. We started meeting a lot of families, and then we were praying to the Lord, Lord, should we just go and do this without permission? What should we do? And so we prayed about it, and we took that step of faith, as all of you know. We took that step of faith, and we met so many families, and it was such a joy. It was really such a joy just to take that step of faith. And also, another quick question. Do you want to remain on the bench and become a consistent bench warmer? Joey Swan, you're right here. You like soccer, right? Do you want to stay on the bench all season? Is that where you want to be, Joey? No, you don't want to be there, right? None of us do. I played soccer, and I wasn't a bench. Joey remembers? I was a bench warmer, and I hated it, okay? I did not like being a bench warmer. But when I was in there, I was ready to get involved. But God does not want you to be on the bench. Do you want to remain on the bench and become a consistent bench warmer? God does not want us to be there. Joey, you don't want to be on that bench. In the same way, when it comes to serving God, when it comes to sharing the gospel, when it comes to being involved in the great things that God is doing around the world, we don't want to be bench warmers. We want to be involved. We want to serve God. We want to be involved in ministry. Learn to trust in the Lord and not focus on times of discouragement. And you know what? There's going to be times where we get involved in ministry and we want to try different things. It's not going to work sometimes. And that's okay. You keep going forward. You keep trying new things. And you keep praying about that. I'll tell you something. There was a lot of projects that the Lord put on my heart that didn't work. I'll be completely honest with you this morning. Where it just did not work. It backfired. I was discouraged. I wanted to give up. I wanted to throw in the towel. I said, Lord, maybe I'm not the one that's going to be used in this situation, Lord, and I just wanted to give up. It's very easy to be in that vulnerable place. But let's learn to trust in God. Let's learn to trust that He is the one that works out all the details. Amen? Didn't God work out all the details of VBS? Was it amazing seeing how God was working? It's incredible how God works in those situations. And God was doing an amazing work, and I was blown away each day. And so here we are. Now we're at the Red Pink Outreach. And I'm a dork. I'm sorry. I'm a nerd. I love superheroes. I know some of you have noticed that. Like I said, I'm very into these kind of shows. So as I was praying and asking the Lord, what do you want me to share with these kids? How can we be as effective as we can? And I said, I like superheroes. And you know what? Jesus is the best superhero. There's nobody better than Jesus. Amen? Jesus is my superhero, the perfect superhero. And the theme of the children's outreach last week was Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's what we're preaching. Amen? Of the Savior Jesus who saves us from our sins. I am redeemed. I love that song. That's why I was singing it all week. Because I'm redeemed because of Jesus. Not because of Diego, not because of what I could do, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross for me. For the Son of Man came to save and seek and save the lost. And that's what we were sharing with these children this week. We, you know, a lot of them had a lot of favorite superheroes. A lot of them like the Hulk. A lot of them like Captain America. A lot of them like Superman. That's Paul's favorite superhero. A lot of them liked different superheroes, and we would talk about it all week. And I would tell the kids, did you know, can Iron Man save you from your sin? That's what I asked one kid. He's like, no. I said, can Thor save you from your sin? No. And I would tell them, can Wonder Woman save you from your sin? I know there's been a lot of talk lately about how Wonder Woman was such a cool movie. It was great. But not even Wonder Woman can save you from your sin. And I asked the children, who can save you from your sin? And one kid said, Jesus. Jesus. Mrs. Crawford and Dan, they saw it firsthand. Seeing these children understand the gospel was mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. What an opportunity. Jesus, the perfect superhero. There's no one better than Jesus. Iron Man can't save us. Thor can't save us. No one but Jesus. So what a joy. I am a zero without my hero, Jesus. Amen? I am a zero without my hero, Jesus. I love this verse. It's the NIV version. I liked how NIV kind of put a spin on it. See what great love the Father has lavished. Do you like that? What do you think of that word? Lavished. The love of God was lavished on you. The love of God was lavished on me. As I was thinking this week and thinking of these amazing children, I wanted to tell them that the love of God is lavished on them. And what a joy it was to do that. I wanted to tell them that we are a zero without our hero Jesus. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. That we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. People won't know this love unless they don't know Jesus. I pray this morning that all of us will think about this. That we would really dive into the opportunities of serving God. Don't allow results to dictate your life of evangelism. I'll tell you something. There's been plenty of times I shared my faith and people rejected me, not in a nice way, in a harsh way. That's going to happen. Don't let those results stop you from sharing Christ. I am a zero without my hero, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. See what the love of Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Amen? And so this week we talked about the infinite superhero qualities of Jesus. That's what we talked about this week. That's what I talked about with the kids. You know, did you notice I put there infinite? There's endless. There's too many to think of. There's not even enough words in any language to describe the qualities that Jesus has. He's perfect in every way. And I kept really making that very clear to the children this week, that Jesus is perfect in everything. And we only talked about a couple of things that week. We talked about how Jesus is perfect in power. We talked about how He created the world, how He's the creator of all things. And the creator of all things wants a relationship with you. And the kids were so enthusiastic about that. They were so encouraged to hear that a God that is so majestic and incredible wants to be with them. You know, Jesus is perfect in compassion. We talked about the woman caught in adultery and how everybody was condemning her and hating her, but Jesus came in and he loved her with compassion. And he shared about how he offers true hope. We talked about being perfect and real, being real and all known. We talked about the rich young ruler, and we talked about how Jesus was real with him. Jesus wasn't afraid to tell him the truth. May this morning, may we not be afraid to tell our neighbors, friends, coworkers, those around us who don't know Jesus the truth. May we be real with them. May we be honest in speaking the truth to them. And so this week I talked about that, about Jesus being perfect and real. And I played a game called Guess Man. I didn't want to call it Hangman. I don't like that. I'm not crazy about that name. So I changed the name. I called it Guess Man. And so all week they were guessing the lesson plans. They were guessing the themes, and they were earning points, and it was so much fun. And the last point is, he is perfect in providing the only way for perfect peace through his perfect sacrifice on the cross, providing perfect holiness only found in his perfect name, which is the perfect name above all names. You kind of can see the theme that I wanted to have there, can't you? Jesus is perfect. And I would ask the kids all week, can I save you from your sins, Danilo? There was this kid named Danilo. Can I save you from your sins? He was like, no, Diego, you can't. And then I would ask Melvin, can I save you from your sins? He goes, no. I said, who can save you from your sins? And they were like, Jesus! Jesus! Only Jesus can save us from our sins. He is perfect in everything. And there's this quote that I love. I see it in a lot of places. Know Jesus. No, you see the middle part there where it says the N-O? Know Jesus, no peace. But if you know Jesus, then you know peace. What do you think of that? We can't have peace without Jesus. It's only through knowing him, knowing what he did on the cross for you, can you have peace. And we talked about the storm when Jesus and disciples were a part of a storm. And the disciples went to go wake him up, and I talked to the kids of how when Jesus came, all he had to do was speak, and the storm stopped. And the disciples said, even the waves and the winds obey him. Jesus is perfect in power. Jesus is perfect in providing peace. And I told the children that week, I said, just the way that Jesus provided peace in that storm, there's a storm in your soul because of your sin. There's a storm in your soul because you have fallen and you have made a lot of mistakes. You have a sinful heart, but Jesus brings perfect peace within your heart. He gives you a new heart, a new name. So, and this week also, guess what, Mr. Risen? It was a success. I did the Evangel Cube this week with the kids. They loved it. Every day they would say, Are you doing the Evangel Cube? And we did the Evangel Cube every day. They loved it. It was such a success. And even some of the kids wanted to do a presentation themselves. I would have them volunteer. They would come up and they would do the Evangel Cube in front of the kids. And just seeing them understand the gospel through this Evangel Cube was excellent. So, Mr. Risen, thank you so much for that tip. The kids loved it. They had a great time. And also, God works out all the details. I was praying about how can I be effective in doing different methods. And guess what? I got a message, Facebook messenger from Holly Bear. A lot of you know her, Kingsley's wife. He passed away. What a great brother in the Lord. And she donated to me all her materials, her flannel frame. And that's what I used all week. God just kept bringing the stuff to us. It's like we were just sitting back and watching him work. That's all we were doing all week. It's just seeing the Lord work. And then Dan Crawford, he didn't take the week off to come help me this week. It wasn't part of the purpose for him to take this week off. It just happened to me. He took this week off. So Dan helped me, and the Lord provided exactly enough hands, enough feet to come and help us do the outreach there. And it's been a wonderful joy. Lizbeth was so involved, and you know, Sharon Kelly and Bob Billings and Ruth, and it was just exciting seeing the body of Christ come together and spend time with these kids. So, a little bit of what we talked about that week. Here's our superhero participants. I call it the superhero camp. Every day when the kids came, I was like, "Hey, welcome to superhero camp!" And we would scream. And I have a little video I'll show you at the end of. And I know some of you saw it on the Facebook page, but these were the, you know, I didn't know what to expect the first day. I really did not know what to expect. You know, sometimes we have such little faith. And you know what? I came in thinking, you know what? Even if we have like 3-4 kids, I will be so happy. Like, praise the Lord. Like, that for me, that was enough. But of course, God continues to surprise us. On the first day, we had about 15 kids come join us that heard the gospel. And it was such a great joy. And then it kept getting bigger as the week went by. Some days we had 20, some days we had 23. And I think on the last day, we had almost like 26, 27 kids come out. And you can see how excited they were. And it was just such a joy to be there with these kids. And you know what? A lot of these kids would come up to Dan and I and say, "Are you coming back like next week? Like, please come back." You know, and like, that hit me in the heart real hard. You know, like, I feel like adopting all these kids. You know, I can't do that, but I would love to. But, you know, pray for these kids. You know, a lot of these kids, one of the things we noticed as we spent a lot of time with them, a lot of them, their parents were never around. A lot of these kids come from broken families. A lot of these kids come from families where the parents work sometimes all day, and they're home alone all day. There was one time where Elizabeth and Ruth, when they were walking around inviting kids to come, they saw an apartment, and they saw like a bunch of kids in this apartment just looking out the window, and we realized that their parents weren't home, and they just left them there all day. So it's tough. It's tough. But what a joy it is that we can be there with them and spend time with them. And it was exciting to be a part of that. So there's our superhero participants. Here's one of the classes that I was involved with, the older kids, and we had a great time. And like I said, you saw the lessons that we did, and they were so excited. They were very enthusiastic to be involved. It was just exciting. Here's the little ones, and I didn't get as many pictures as I wanted to, but there you see Sharon, and she did a great job with the little kids. I agree with Joey. I struggle with little kids. It's a challenge for me. So Sharon was such a blessing, and she had all the arts and crafts, and and you know what? Can you believe this? See how God works? You know who was my preschool teacher before I came to Christ, before I even came to Fifth Avenue, before I was ever even involved in Vacation Bible School? My parents found a preschool that was affordable, and they sent me there, and it was actually a Christian preschool. Guess who was my teacher? Sharon Kelly. Sharon Kelly was my teacher. And I remember learning, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Is so good to me. Dad, you remember when I used to come home? I sang that song to Nathaniel. I used to sing that song to Michelle. I used to drive my, you know, I loved Miss Sharon. She sang, you know, and actually, Sharon is one of the reasons why I gave my life to Christ. She was involved with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and she told my mom and my dad to send us to FCA. And you know my testimony. I went to FCA, and that's how I came to know the Lord. So God works in amazing ways. Who would have thought that Sharon would be partnering up with someone in ministry that she had as a student when she was a long, long time ago, you know? It's kind of weird. I've known Jim and Joe since we were, I guess, 2 years old, because you went to the same preschool, too. Sharon was also your teacher, right? So it's pretty amazing how God was. So here's Sharon serving the Lord alongside of us. And so praise God for that. Just to share a couple, I have like 5 more minutes. I'll share a little bit more about here's Sylvia and Julio. Sylvia was one of the moms who made such a huge connection with. She was there with us every single day. She was so excited. She was so thrilled to be with us. And she just was begging us even to talk to her. I'm assuming it's her boyfriend, Julio. And it was very normal in Latino families where you would call them your husband, but they're really not your husband. That's a normal part of culture in Latino culture. And so please pray for Sylvia and Julio. Sylvia wants to start something with the women. Isn't that incredible? Elizabeth and Ruth are praying about starting something with the women there and seeing where the Lord takes that. And so please pray for Sylvia and Julio. And I might be meeting with Julio once a week in the next couple of weeks and just talking to him more. There's a huge problem in New Jersey. I know many of you have heard a lot about it in the media. How many of you heard of the gang MS-13? Yeah, how many of you heard of it? So it's very vibrant right now. A lot of these kids are the target for that. A lot of these kids are vulnerable. They're like sponges. They want to learn. And MS-13 takes advantage of that vulnerability. What joy would it be to invest in these kids to be men and women of God for the Lord? And that excites me. And so here's a group of kids that came out the whole time. They were the top 5 winners in the prizes. They were memorizing Bible verses right after the meeting. Remember that, Dan? Like right after we finished the hours, they would go to a picnic table. They would sit with their Bible verse. They would just memorize. Say, "Mr. Diego, I know this Bible verse, John 3:16. They would say John 3:16 to Dan. They would say Romans 5:8 to Mr. Richie, Sharon's son that was involved with us also. They were just so excited to memorize Bible verses. They wanted the points. They were so enthusiastic. Their names are Danilo Emiliano, Alex, Ivan, Brian, and Melvin. What an incredible group of five kids. Incredible group of five kids. And we had so much fun with them all week. Pray also for Julio. You know, Sylvia is very concerned for him in a lot of reasons. And so just pray for God's wisdom and for that opportunity there. So building solid bridges. That's what we're praying for, Bob and I. We're praying to build these solid bridges with these families, and we can continue to get to know them. Building trust. Here's a group of the girls that were involved all week. You see Melvin, he just jumped in there. He wanted to be in every picture. So I was like, all right, Melvin, just hop in there, you know. But there's Yomara, there's Daniela, Betsy, there's Christian in the middle. I was like, oh, who did you between all the girls? I was like, okay, Christian. He was like laughing and joking. And there's Joanna and Janet, and they had a great time. We also had a lot of kids that would come one day, wouldn't come another day. And so there was, I think, probably at least 30 to 33 kids heard the gospel the whole week. So that was awesome. So praise God for that. So here's Yannette. There's the girl that Lisbon has been friends with for a while. Yannette, the one I was talking about earlier, who we built a relationship with. Lisbon's been friends with her for now. How long, Lisbon? Like 4 years? Something like that. And, you know, she's slowly asking more questions about the Lord. So pray for Yannette and her boyfriend, Luis, and their daughter, Emily. So building trust. Also, like I said, we would always stay longer. This is where the kids memorized the verses. They always stuck around. They wanted to spend time with us. They would just ask us, can you stay like till 9 o'clock tonight? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't. I wish I could. They just wanted us to stay all day. They didn't want us to. Remember that, Dan? Miss Crawford? They just wanted us to stay longer and longer. And it was just so much, so encouraging to see the trust that they had with us. Also, every day when we got to the outreach, they were waiting for us. Isn't that something? Like, they knew when we were coming, and they were outside waiting for us. And they were so excited to get the time started, they would just run to Dan's truck and just grab all the chairs. They would help us set up every single day. It was just so excited to see their enthusiasm of just wanting to start. Where are we going to start? Let's start the lesson. What's the lesson today, Mr. Diego? What are you going to talk about today? What is going to be your guest man thing? Can you tell me the answer before? I'm like, that's not how it works, Danilo. You got to try to guess it first. Oh, okay. You know, and so they were, oh my goodness, they would hop on Dan's truck. I don't know how Dan felt about that, but they would just hop on there and just start helping, and they would jump in Bob's car, they would jump in my car, and they were just so excited to get the day started. You know, it was so encouraging to see that. And then we sent all the families with a family package. Talk about how the Lord works. How many of you have been to Memorial Gospel Chapel? I know some here have spoken there. There's a lady there. Her name is Sue. I can't remember her last name now for some reason. But she's about 90-something years old, almost 100. But she faithfully makes these packages and gives it out to different speakers that come to her assembly. And one day when I went there, she's like, oh, Diego, I got like 50 of these that I want to give to you. And like, this was before that we even thought about doing the Red Bank outreach. I don't know where you're going to use it for. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll take it. And we ended up using it to give out to the families at the end. And then we got the Gospel of John. And guess who gave me those movies? Bill Ridgway. Remember Bill Ridgway? Who passed away. What a tremendous man of God. He was a mentor for me in evangelism, and he's the one who helped me a lot with the outreaches of Sandy. Remember the outreaches we had with Sandy? And Bill Ridgway was like a motivational, like, encourager for me. Diego, get out there. Diego, you got to get out there. You got to be the first responder. Diego, get out there. What are you doing today? Like, he would just call me, and he would just like, what are you doing, Diego? What are you doing? Get out there. And I'm like, all right, Mr. Ridge, I'm going. Yeah, you better tell me about it later on today. You know, he's just like, oh, man, I needed somebody like that in my life. So I praise God for Mr. Ridgway. He gave us those movies, and I had them lying around the house. So we gave away these packages to all the families. There's information about Bethel in Spanish. And Bethel, they're now doing translations in Spanish at each service. Someone at the back is translating. So we have that opportunity for these families. And when they heard that we have a church that's bilingual, they were so excited. And so we're praying that these families could come. So that's the family package. So pray for us. We're excited. We don't know what's going to happen next. Bob and I are still going to be praying about the next steps. I've been praying about starting maybe a Bible club once a week throughout the whole year. If that's where the Lord wants us to be, we're praying about it. I would love the elders' prayers on that as well here. I love those kids. And I texted Dan the other day. I was like, man, Dan, I missed them already. And they would ask us, like, when are you coming back? They just, all week, they were like, how long are you going to be here? Like, they're used to people coming into their life and just not being in their lives no more. They're used to that. So you know, to have a... And a lot of parents would come to us, and they would... I think one parent asked you, or one of the kids asked you, Dan, like, are you guys getting paid to do this? Like, is this something you're, like, earning something for to doing? And I mean, we just told them, no, we just want to tell you about the Lord Jesus and how he changed our lives. We want to be there for you guys. We love you guys. And the kids were just thrilled, and they were so excited. So pray for us for the next step and where the Lord wants us to be next. So it's always exciting, and we are thrilled. So there's going to be obstacles, like in anything else. It's not going to be easy, but I wanted to close with a video. And I think some of you saw this video already. Did many of you saw it already? But I want to show it to you anyway again. Let me get to my Facebook page. Let me see if I can. All right. I think I pressed play right, Todd. Oh, here we go. Oh, the volume. How are we going to get the volume? It's just a quick, short video. Let me see if... Check one. There's the volume here. It's not working. Well, anyway, here's a video of them. And who of you saw? I know some of you might have saw it. And all I did was like, you ready for summer camp? And they were like, yeah! And I said, you know, when I say Jesus, you say Christ, Jesus. And they were like, Christ! And so they were so excited. And, you know, so keep praying for us. We're so excited. Todd, if you want to go back to the PowerPoint presentation. You know, we're so excited to see where God is going to take this. And like I said, God is doing the work. We're just being a part of what he is doing. And we're so excited about that. So the Apostle Paul had a lot of struggles. It wasn't easy in ministry. To give a quick update, I didn't have much time to go into the book of Ephesians, which I wanted to talk about today, but the Apostle Paul had a lot of obstacles in the opportunity of ministry. Everything has a story. The Church of Ephesus has a huge story. I encourage you to read Acts chapter 18, 19, 20, and 21. It really gives a good feedback on how God did a huge work in the Church of Ephesus. And Paul had a lot of obstacles. Do you see the picture up here? What do you think this is right here? This is the temple of Artemis. Artemis was one of the most famous goddesses in the city of Ephesus. This was the main god that they worshipped. Here's a market. That's where they sold all their idols. Here's the temple of Artemis, the same temple that's right here where all the markets took place. There's a statue of Artemis. Here's the picture of magicians, people who did sorcery and black magic and all sorts of things in the city of Ephesus. Here's the stadium where one of the main leaders in that movement, I think it's Demetrius, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, where he wanted to start a riot against the Apostle Paul because the Apostle Paul was sharing the gospel in this area. People were coming to Christ. There was a revival going on. And God was doing an amazing work. And it all started with a group of 12 men that the apostle ministered to. And, you know, he went to the synagogue. He stayed there for 3 months. They didn't want to listen, so Paul left the synagogue. And this is actually one of the places that the Apostle Paul spent the most time doing ministry. He was there for 3 years. 3 years going to a school, I think it was called Tyranny. And he was discipling. He was having intense fellowship with the new believers there. Apollos went there. He was an Old Testament saint. And he gave his life to the Lord and understood the gospel through Aquila and Priscilla when they ministered to him. And so there was a lot of obstacles that the Apostle Paul went through. And, you know, Demetrius gathered a huge riot against the Apostle Paul because people were coming to Christ. The market were losing business. Isn't that awesome? Like the markets were no longer selling idols of Artemis, this goddess. They were no longer, their sales were plummeting. They weren't selling anything because people were coming to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And they were getting saved. And they were repenting of these old pagan lifestyles. And there was a huge revival going on. I'm praying for this same thing to happen in New Jersey. I'm praying for the same thing for God to do a work here. How many of you believe that God can do a work? It starts small. Paul wasn't a Billy Graham and had this huge crusade and thousands of people came. It wasn't that kind of a scene. Paul started with a group of men. And from there, God started doing a great work. And I want to close with this verse here, Acts chapter 19. I hope I can find it. In verse chapter 19 and verse 27. I can't find the verse right now because I got so caught up and so excited about the Red Bank presentation. But there's a verse in Ephesians where it says that the work that Paul did for the glory of God, the gospel's preached in all of Asia. It all started with these 12 guys that he ministered to, and Aquila and Priscilla co-laboring with him. Sometimes we think it takes an army to see God do a work, but God just needs one person at times, or two or three. And so my question to you this morning, I'll go back to that question asked earlier. Do you want to be a bench warmer? Do you want to be a bench warmer? No. You want to be in the trenches, just like Paul was. Let's do it for the glory of God. Amen? So thanks again for listening. Let's close with a word of prayer, and then Craig will finish us with a song. Thank you again for listening, and there's so much more to share, but you know, time is limited, and I already went over, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful again this morning. So thankful for the amazing things you're doing around the world. And even this past couple of weeks here at Fifth Avenue, we're so thankful for the VBS here at Fifth Avenue, just for the many children that heard the gospel. Lord, I was one of those children that heard the gospel here a long time ago, and I didn't step foot in this church until many years later. Lord, you've planted seeds in the hearts of many of these children. A lot of these children will never forget the gospel lessons they learned here. A lot of these children will remember these songs that they sang for the rest of their lives. Those seeds are planted in their hearts. And even though we might not see those hearts, those seeds flourish at this in our lifetime, when we might not see where it takes it, but we know you're going to take it somewhere amazing. And so, Father, we're so thankful for the privileges and the opportunities you give us to serve you. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in the small areas that we live in. Help us to take steps of faith, to get out of our comfort zone, Lord. Help us not to be comfortable Christians. Help us to be vibrant believers serving you. And so, Lord, this week we thank you for what you did last week. We thank you, Lord, for the amazing things you're doing in the lives of so many children around the world. We know that children are the most vulnerable and the most easy to break. And so, Lord, help us to have a love for them. Help us to be patient. Help us to labor in evangelism. Evangelism doesn't happen just in one day. It takes time. And help us, Lord, to see this as not a sacrifice, but as a blessing and as an honor to be in the work that you have provided for us to be in. We love you and we praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Praise God.